Thank you, Cody. If you have your Bibles taken, open up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Title of the message is Preparing for War. No, we're not talking about a physical war. It's about a spiritual war. But it is important, Ephesians chapter 6, that we do prepare. As you heard Billy read this morning from Timothy, it talked about athletics events, that it cannot be won until that person has won the crown, abiding by the rules. And no matter what it is, we have to prepare if we want to be successful. Many of you watch the Lano as they have played ball. I know they were very successful with their sophomore team and in defeating one that had been undefeated. But they don't just walk out on the field and play ball. They prepare. Our coaches prepare. It's no different than our military. It prepares. They do training exercises. Everything is about the preparation. Usually when we get caught and blindsided without it is because we haven't prepared. This week I was with in downtown Dallas all week, down there at their big main office, and their office is on the 19th floor. I don't know how many floors are to that building, but they decided we needed to have a fire drill. And they said, means you have to go down to the 8th floor and you can't use the elevators. So my knees were just tickle pinkless when they heard that. And I told them, one of the guys said, well, I'll kind of stay here with you. And I said, no, I'll be there. I'm just slower than I can't run steps like I used to. And so about the time I got to the 8th floor, went down M11, went out on the pavilion side there where they had it. The little gal comes back and says, okay, y'all can go back now. And somebody was wise enough in the crowd to say, can we use the elevators this time? And I told them, I really didn't care if we could or we couldn't. I was going to. So still got a little outlaw in me every now and then. But we made it. I don't mind going. I am extremely thankful I do not have to be in downtown Dallas every week for work all week long. So I am thankful for a safe trip, and everything went good, and we were successful with what we went there for. And so it's a very large project, a little over $300 million. It will go over the next 2 years, so I covet your prayers with that. Now the problem is you got to execute it, right? You win it, and then you got to do it. But preparing, there was so much preparation that went into this and meetings with people. And it's that way in anything. If we want to be successful, no matter what it is, sports is an easy analogy. But even as B.C. read that Paul wrote in Timothy, he said, the farmer prepares the land and he is the first to taste the fruits to make sure that it's good, that it's right. Preparation is everything. Mike over here, we tease him a lot, but if you've ever seen him work in recovering a vehicle in all sorts of positions in every place, Mike just doesn't go out there and hook on to it and drag it off. He prepares ahead of time, looking at it. And each one of us are that way. You ladies cook, you prepare ahead of time the ingredients, what goes in it, what doesn't go in it. It's all about preparation. Many of you in here, I realize, have had surgery. That doctor prepares, okay? It is about preparation. So this morning, we want to say, we have a message here about preparing for war. And that, more importantly than anything else, is exactly what should take place. So I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus. They have been going through persecutions, even as in Bible study we're talking with Peter. That this time was very tumultuous for most of the church. with persecutions that were taking place. And so Paul was inspired to write the following in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And add for me, that the utterance may be given by me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You may be seated. A lot of information in those 10 verses. So I want to go very quickly and break some of those down with us understanding. And I'm going to refer back, and I appreciate the verse that you read, B.C., earlier out of 2 Timothy. He says there that no one engaged in verse 4, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he says no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. How true that is. That is the noise of what's going on. It is the fact that the devil wants to take everything he can as he engages us in a spiritual warfare with a bunch of noise. So we're not having time to think. Also, so hopefully we don't prepare and we're left stranded out there. Here, Paul writes about this armor of God. And understand, as we walk out that door, we have a plaque up there that says, you know, preparing to enter, that as you walk out this door, you're preparing to enter the fields of harvest, and that you're going to spread the gospel. And probably the biggest thing I hear people say is, well, I'm scared that I will not say the right things. Jesus has already promised you and I that the Spirit will speak through us, but how do we get there? We prepare for it, and notice how Paul lays these out as what he's looking at as a Roman soldier, which Rome was the strongest military at the time. They ruled the world. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And that is the key, and then he begins to break those down. Most of the time, what happens is we do not put on the full armor. We take and we put on bits and pieces of the armor, but not the full armor. And sure enough, the old devil ain't stupid. He knows right where to go pick on us because we didn't put armor there. We were not prepared for the battle that we would get hit with. Oftentimes as we interact with people, as my wife talked about, the last thing she thought about was a feller coming to her door out there while she's trying to get everything ready and begin to talk to her, that warfare comes without knowledge. We see it in everyday life. We see those things take place. We have to be prepared, and that is way far in advance. Cody doesn't come up here and sing a song that he's written that he hadn't sung through 1,400 times. Because he don't want to look stupid before you and not know his own song and play wrong keys. None of us do that. We don't suddenly just decide, you know, I think I'm going to bake a cake for the church. Well, let's see. What should I put in it first? Well, I don't know. I hadn't baked a cake before. I got to think about that now. You laugh, but that's how we go out into the world daily. Just walking around with our head in the clouds, and suddenly we're confronted. We know the answers, but we're not sure how to present it. We haven't prepared in our mind for these trials and tribulations. Some of you have experienced the trials and tribulations of this life by being told about health events. What has been prepared, what has not been prepared. You know, I kind of laugh and tease about my old knees. And I tell that boy up there when he was younger, he'd jump out of the back end of a truck off the bed. You know, we've all done it. I said, you really shouldn't ought to do that. He said, oh, I didn't hurt none. I said, yeah, wait till you're my age again. Then you'll go, old Pappy knew what he was talking about. Okay? If I knew now, back then, I'd have been a whole lot kinder to them knees. I'd still done stupid stuff, but I'd have been a lot nicer to those knees knowing what was coming. There's not a single one of you in here that's had a knee replacement or hip replacement that wouldn't have said, you know, a few years ago, I'd have done some things a little different. That's preparing. And we know the consequences of not preparing. It hurts. The song is what he said, what we read in Timothy and the songs here. You know, preparing our children. Because, folks, it's not going to get better. We're assured of that. We have prophecy that tells us that. We should be preparing our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren to be strong in the Lord, just as what Paul told Timothy and what he writes here. So how do we do that? Number one, in the verse 10, he brings out the first thing. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The number one thing that we go when we go to battle, spiritual warfare, is the fact we try to do it in our own power and our own mind. And that's in everything of our life. We have a God that loves us enough that if we're concerned about it, He wants to be a part of our lives in everything that we do daily. It doesn't matter what we're doing. If you're writing and doing a composition, if you're baking, He wants to be a part of it. Bill back there is a lineman. He goes up and works on our power lines. I assure you those guys have to prepare. If they don't, that electricity is unforgiven. Am I right, Bill? It will take you in a heartbeat that fast. And so they have to prepare. And they prepare by putting on the appropriate equipment. Same thing for our law enforcement. Same thing for our firefighters. They put on the appropriate equipment. The number one thing is the equipment is to do it in the power of our God. And that comes through talking with Him. And the greatest thing of all is we have the opportunity to ask for His assistance 24/7, anytime, day or night. He goes then and he says, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand. Again, that full amount of everything that it is. And he explains, we do not wrestle between flesh and blood. It would be easy sometimes if that's all it was. We could be bigger and better. But it's not flesh and blood. It's powers and principalities. It is of good and of evil. We see that every day in the news. We see it in our home right here in Llano County. We see that good and that evil take place. And so we have to be prepared for that. That we can, as he says in 12, against spiritual host of wickedness. Folks, there's wickedness everywhere we turn. Everywhere. Sometimes we have musicians that come and play, and the devil decides to get in the electronics. Short of a ball peen hammer, sometimes that's all you can do to it, right? Just go buy a new one. But he looks therefore at us. He says, take up in 13 the whole armor of God that you may withstand. He said, 14, he says, having girded your waist with truth. The biggest thing in our country today, and especially for our young people, is they're looking for a foundation of truth. We have allowed our world to muddy up so much of right and wrong with this big, large gray area that they don't know what to do. They are seriously looking for someone to give them the truth. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus, by his own admission, says, I am the truth. In other words, you can take everything that was spoken by the Father or by the Son and by the Holy Spirit in this book, and you can rely that it will happen. I was listening the other day to a commentary as I rode down the road coming home, and he says, well, if there is a heaven or a hell, I got news for him. There ain't no if about that. That's a certainty. The book says there is heaven. The book says there is hell. I assure you they exist. Whether we decide to believe it or not, whether we can see it or not, I assure you it exists, and one day we will see it right before our eyes. And so he says the first thing that we have is base our readiness for that warfare on truth. You need the correct direction, the correct attitude, the correct plan. All these things have to be correct, and that comes from God himself and through the Bible, his holy word. He then says that we've gird our waist with the truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You and I can't put that breastplate on. There's not a single one of us that is righteous. Oh, we may think we're good people, but that goes to the heart of exactly where the gospel is. Our very best is not good enough. The only way we have the righteousness is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll speak to that again here in a minute when he talks about the helmet of salvation. It's being assured that you and I know if we are lost in battle of this life, from this physical life, you are to be able to say, I know exactly on that last breath right here where I will be the very next instant I start taking a breath. There's only two options. It's either heaven or it's hell. And a lot of folks don't like that, but that's the truth. There's nothing in between. There's no land that you can wallow around in and maybe somebody can pray you out. That is not the truth. The truth is, it's your personal decision of whether you accept Jesus Christ or not. So it is the truth. And by that, you have the breastplate of righteousness, meaning the breastplate in simple language, the Word and the Spirit of God lies within your heart. That's the most vital thing. When these officers or military go out, they wear ballistic vest that covers the torso. It is the breastplate. It is because that is where the vital organs are. And so that is what we have to cover up, and we can only do that with the salvation, the righteousness that we are redeemed by our Jesus Christ, our salvation. He then comes and drops down and he says, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. We want the proper footwear. And the days of old that he's talking about, they wore sandals. Thank goodness. I'm so thankful we don't have to wear sandals. Those of you that do, I'm sorry. You know, next time pay a little more, you can get a full pair. It's got leather all the way up. They call them boots, okay? And they'll go up halfway up your shins. I like yours, Debbie. They go all the way up to your knees. Those are suckers that are high. But you'd be surprised. People don't understand, especially out in Texas. They go wandering around. They wonder why you got high boots. Because there's little critters slithering around called snakes that like to strike up. It's nice to have your good soles on your boots so you don't get a good thorn right through through the middle of it. But he says that we should shod ourselves. Notice here, he says, shod ourselves with preparation. That preparation comes well before we ever walk out into the battlefield. You need those boots already sized to your feet, and they fit good and put on before you walk out in that pasture. That's what it's for and why he says that we shod our feet with the gospel. You and I must know it. We will never convince somebody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ if you and I don't believe ourselves, folks. It's just that simple. Each one of in here drive a certain brand of vehicle. And if it's been a good vehicle and very reliable, your testimony is the best one for someone else that's looking for a good, reliable vehicle. By the same token, if your vehicle is a lemon, you're going to say, buy everything but that. It's your testimony. Each of us has a testimony. I talked with some folk with a fellow that said, well, I just don't know if my testimony is good enough. And I said, it's yours, isn't it? Who can tell you it's wrong? It belongs to you. Christ comes and meets us on an individual basis. My testimony is mine. Your testimony is yours. Paul's testimony was Paul's. Some of you in here were smart enough as a child when Jesus came and visited you personally. You accepted Jesus Christ at a young age. You were smart. Some of us hardheads, it took a while, okay? And some of us still haven't accepted. Your testimony is yours, and nobody can tell you that it's wrong because you had the personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And so he said, that is what we need to have. And then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That shield of faith. You know, as much as we don't like trials and troubles are a part of what builds our faith. Because we remember those times that we saw the hand of God that brings us through things, and we know that we would have not gotten there if it wasn't because of God's hand. That is a building block of our faith. We can hear all the words about turn it over to the Lord. We can hear the words about take that problem and give it to God and pray to Him about it. But when we actually see it take place, we see it with our own eyes, that is faith in action. When we come to know Jesus Christ or He comes and visits us, it says that we must believe and act on faith to trust Him that He is our Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive us. I'll be the first one to tell you, I've never seen Jesus Christ face to face, but I will one day. I have seen Him acting in the face of other people. I've seen Him act in my own life. My wife talked about giving a praise. She goes out there to get a few things that she wanted from her dad's house and prep it up where we could put it on the market. It never even hit the market. She called me and she goes, this lady just come over and moved her mom in a little while ago across the street, and they want to be close to take care of their mom. Said, I'd like to buy your house and I'll pay cash. Said, I don't want to use no realtor. We just go to the title company, get the lawyers there to raft it all up. I told her, I said, you know, it's when God's in it, you better hang on because the train done left the station. It's that fast. And you all have, some of you have had that same experience that when God, you struggle with something, but when God's in it, it doesn't struggle, it just happens. And you better hang on. And I'm amazed because sometimes we go, I just can't believe how what happened. Well, if you prayed about it, what did you think was going to happen? God answers every single prayer, folks. Every single one. Sometimes it's yes and moves quick. Sometimes it's wait for His timing. Some, you know, it's one of the things with that we've talked about for 2 years. He passed away 2 years ago. And we always planned to have the time to go down. It seemed like that time just didn't come. But guess what happened this trip? Bingo. It was the right time. And we've been through that before. In our lives where it is the right timing, it is wait on Him. He says in 17, so we want to quench, 16:4, leave it, quench by our faith the fiery, and I want to make this clear, to be able to quench the fiery darts. When the devil comes up before you with some type of problem or trouble or a temptation, we miss it. We read about it in the Scriptures, but understand, if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. that Holy of Holies that they used to put in a building, a temple, a church, whatever you want to call it. But it was where the Spirit of God resides. Why Paul says we are living tabernacles. That Holy of Holies is your heart. That Spirit, that same one that they read about in the Old Testament, the smoke come down in that Holy of Holies, lives in mine and your heart if you know Jesus Christ personally. And as much as Jesus Christ had the power to tell Satan as he was tempted, get behind me, Satan, you and I have the same power through him to tell that devil to get out. Hit the road. And don't come back, Jack. Oftentimes, because of a lack of faith and the preparation, you and I don't realize that. People say, well, the devil just picking at me. Send him packing. Now, I understand that's easy for me to say, but I want you to understand that if we prepare for that warfare, Jesus says, not only have I done miracles, told his disciples, and that you and I are a disciple of his, you will do greater things than I have. You know, how can I be greater than what Christ was? Because allowing him to work through me in situations for others to see that we fulfill Romans 8:28 that says, all things, not some, all, work for the glory of God. And you and I are blessed through that and have that opportunity, and they exercise our faith that we see him in action. So we take and we put on that helmet of salvation. And then it talks about the sword of the Spirit. There's that again. We're going to talk a lot about the Spirit. And it always amazed me that people were afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. Ooh, that's one of them ghosty things. No, he's real. He lives within me. He's the guide. He's the director. He gives me comfort in knowing it's the right decision. And he will tear up everything when it isn't the right decision and let me know that too. You're going down the wrong way. This is the wrong path. That is his purpose. And the even greater purpose is he intercedes for you in every day in our prayer life, because we sometimes don't know how to pray or what the right words are. He communicates them to Jesus Christ, the Son, who sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding. He whispers in Daddy's ear. So that Spirit is nothing for you and I to be afraid of, but to embrace. He says that we are to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's this. The number one preparation is studying and understanding this Bible, because it tells us the character of God. It tells us the real life examples of telling the devil to get behind us, to get away from us. Understand this as well. The devil and the demons know who Jesus Christ is. You remember Jesus came into town and the guy who had many demons, he says, our name is Legion because there's a legion of us. He says, what will you have to do with us? They knew who Christ was. It was not a question about who he is. They knew it. Anyone that we have seen on television as far as the news or maybe acting or whatever, if that person walks in, you know who they are. Unless they shave their mustache and come up all together different. You know how many people come up and go, who's that singing today? Who would think one little fuzzy lip could change the whole guy's whole looks, right? But they know who Christ is. They know you and I, if we're a disciple, or as Paul puts it at the end of this, an ambassador for Christ. When our Secretary of State goes to speak to foreign countries, they know who he is speaking for, the president and the American people. At least that's who he should be speaking for. When I go see a client, they know that I am representing my company. It is no different for any one of us. We are the representative of Jesus Christ, of the great I am. And when I think about that, I think, oh, the awesomeness, the responsibility of that, that what I do should always represent his righteousness and his holiness. And I'm sorry to say I'm a failure at it sometimes. When I yield myself and let Him speak through me, then I'm clicking on all eight cylinders. Otherwise, I spit and I sputter worse than a Model T Ford. And so He tells us that we put on that Spirit and allow Him to speak, by which is the Word of God. John tells us that that's exactly who Christ is. He was at the beginning. Without Him, there's nothing that exists. And God put His Holy Spirit. I'm a firm believer. Every single word, I dotted, T crossed, in this Bible came from the Spirit. He then comes and He says, praying always with all prayers and supplication. Paul would be a little more direct later on. He would say, pray without ceasing. Constant communication. People sometimes get wrapped up in this prayer. All you're doing is talking, or you should be, talking to your best friend about anything. It doesn't matter whether you can tell your spouse or not. It doesn't matter if you can tell your best buddy. But you ought to be able to tell God everything. Number one, because He already knows it. If you think you can hide it from Him, you're living in a dreamland. He was there when you done it, when you said it, when you thought it. So nothing surprises Him. He sees the world from the very end of eternity back. He's already seen it all. You're not going to surprise Him, so don't be afraid to talk to Him about it. Sometimes I counsel people that go, well, you know, I know there's this one thing there, but I just can't bring it before the Lord because then I have to admit to Him that I did it. He already knows it. The only one you're admitting it to is you. But the second verse to that, or the chorus, the hallelujah part is, all you got to do is ask Him to forgive you. And He tells us in forgiveness, when He forgives, there's no trace of it. That is as far as the east from the west, the north to the south. It's buried in the depths. It's gone. Doesn't exist. And that's one of the greatest tools of the devil, to always remind us about where we failed. No, I ask for forgiveness for that. It's gone. So take your lies and go away. He says, praying with supplication. Where? In the Spirit. There's that word again. See, everywhere we go, the Spirit is there. Thank goodness God had the wisdom to put that Spirit directly with us all the time. He then says, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So you and I are to persevere. But then he says, for all the saints. You know, I've said this before. When you're missing from this congregation, whether you realize it or not, it's important. You play a vital role. We all are parts of the body that come together as a whole. What you can do, what you fulfill, nobody else can. Oh, anybody could go do that. No. God laid it on your heart. You're filling an invaluable role. Our human body, there's parts that, yes, we can take out. I don't know the function of an appendix. But I know sometimes it's ornery and has to go away. But God had to put it there for a reason. I don't know why cartilages wear out, but God had them there for a reason. I can sure tell you what it is when you don't have a cartilage. It's called pain. Many of you feel that in your joints. God had a reason for every single piece of our body. God has a reason for every single piece of our church family. You add value. And those that we come in contact with, and even those that we may not know their names, why we pray for whoever you bring up. I don't have to know them. I don't have to know the circumstances. All I know is a part of my body says, would you pray for this person? And that's what we do. We get calls from outside of this church, but we know we're known as a praying church. And said, when y'all do prayer and praise, would you bring this up, please? It's important. And each one of us has felt those prayers, and we know the strength and the uplift that that gives. So we persevere, regardless of what it is. We give the supplication for all the saints. And he closes out, he says, Paul, of all the people who would ask this prayer, listen to these words. And for me, in 19, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. It's one of the greatest apostles that ever walked the face of the earth. We know about his, you can't call it anything more than magnificent conversion. And yet he immediately began to touch the lives of millions of people, not only of his own time, but throughout the ages. You and I sit here today, most of us as Gentiles, we're not Jewish. We're Gentiles and realize that he was the great apostle that God sent to the Gentiles. He's still touching you and I today. We read what he has written under the Spirit's authority. And yet this great man, this orator that he was, you read historical accounts about him and they talk about what a great orator he is. And he says, pray for me that when I open my mouth, it's the right thing to say. See, he was no different than you and I. When he spoke, he needed to be able to speak not of himself, but of what the Spirit had to say. The same as you and I speak. That instant prayer beforehand, Lord, put the words in my mouth you want me to say. And close my yak when it needs to close. We're no different. That is putting on the full armor. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What chains? For him, it was a physical prison. For you and I, it's the body in which we live. See, some people know us the old way. They know the old Stacy. It's not what I was, but what God has made me now. And do I still mess up? Yeah. I'm chained by the old carnal body. He gave me a new heart, but I still have memories of things of old. The devil still picks at certain things, but yet I can loosen those chains by the full armor and tell the Satan to get behind me, get away from me. I have been saved by the name of Jesus Christ. That's the other part of Scripture. The devil has to flee at Jesus' name. He didn't just come back alive when he was raised out of that tomb. He kicked the devil's butt. That's the bottom line. And the devil knows it. And the devil is in his death throes right now. That's why he's so active of what we see going on in our world today. He wants to try and destroy every single thing that God made for good. When your mama said, you know, you're going to follow the pack, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to follow the pack. Jesus himself says, wide is the road, but the one to righteousness is narrow. Because it does take perseverance. It's easy sometimes for us to want to slip back and just get along so we don't offend anybody. If you're offended by the name of Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to quit saying it. And I'm not going to not pray in his name. The best thing I can do to tell you is if you don't want to hear it, then stay away from me. Because it comes out. And his name with honor and glory, not using his name as a byword. I heard that this week. Had to say, no, don't use his name that way in a slang. If you're going to invoke his power, then I'm all for you and help you do it. And God's last name isn't damn. Just in case any of you were wondering. Boldly, he says, may I speak. We've got several folks in here that are in elected positions. They boldly speak. I would encourage you to keep them in your prayers as you do all saints. But especially those who are in some power, in some position of authority. Because they are the ones on the front line. They are the ones that need not only elected but serve. They are the ones that need that discernment most of all. They are the ones that can exemplify the life and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to take away from us, but they've been allowed to have that position. Let them speak with boldness of the statutes of the Lord. One thing to say all of that, but it is a lifetime of work preparing. And the greatest thing of all, you and I are preparing to go home. That's what it is. We're preparing to go home. If I'm going to spend all of eternity with a God and a Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, why would I not want to know about their character? And utilize the power that they invoke. That's the Bible. That's the word of the Holy Spirit. That's God's word for you and I to know Him. And He redoes it so many times through the Bible, like refining gold or silver. It's heated up. It's where we live, is in the heat. But it's to refine it, so the silversmith and the goldsmith would sit there and refine it and take away the particles that were debris out of it until he could literally see his reflection in that gold or silver. That's what you and I are looking forward to, is God seeing himself, his son, in us. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done.